This podcast is a quest for well-being, a quest for a meaningful life through the exploration of fundamental truth. Enlightening ideas, insights on physical, mental, and spiritual health. The inspiration is love. The aspiration is to awaken new ways of thinking that can lead us to a new way of being. Being well. Welcome to Body, Mind, and Soul Healing Conversations.
When you are grateful, you have positive energy that emanates outward from your being. You become a magnet of sorts, attracting more experiences and opportunities that enrich your life, giving you even more reasons to be grateful. Challenges or problems are reduced or eliminated because, aside from applying practical solutions, you do not give them any power or energy. Life begins to reflect your good back to you in amazing ways. There is always something to be grateful for. Gratitude is the healthiest of all human emotions. The more you express gratitude for what you have, the more likely you will have even more to express gratitude for. Zig Ziglar. Valeria interviews Jan Lynch. She is the author of The Divine Flow of Abundance, winner of the NYC Big Book Distinguished Favorite Award in 2021. After a successful career in the airline and hospitality industries, Jan began to study how to use universal principles in creating one's own life. From numerous classes and workshops, plus reading uplifting metaphysical books, she learned how to apply these principles of success to her own life. She welcomed the beliefs that joy, love, vibrant health, and financial freedom are natural birthrights for all. The divine flow of abundance was the result of a nudge from the universe to create a simple and insightful 30-day abundance plan that anyone can use in order to realize and accept the limitless prosperity the universe has for each of us. The two common themes in the book are spirit is your source and be careful what you think because thoughts become things. Jan is also a spiritual practitioner licensed through the Emerson Theological Institute in Oakhurst, California, and the co-author of Affirm Your Future, How to Use Affirmations to Bridge Your Future. She's an inspirational speaker and, as a spiritual counselor, she assists others in creating the life they truly desire. A percentage of sales of Jan's books is donated to the Harmony Spiritual Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Meet Jan at janlynch.com. Here's the interview with Jan Lynch.
In your own words, who is Jan Lynch?
Well, thank you, Valeria. I would describe myself as we all are. We are spirit having a human experience. So I am many things as a human. I'm obviously a woman. I'm a wife, a friend, an author, a businesswoman. All of those different ways that we experience life. But when you come right down to it, we are all individualized creations of the divine. And that's really who we are. And we're experiencing life through the divine as all of these other ways that we express ourselves in the world.
Yes, it just resonates with me so much, that message that everything is an expression of the divine, of God, of life itself, of consciousness. Yes. And I wonder why, it's a question that I often ask here, why it has to be this way, in the sense that we are so interested or distracted by experience that we forget that essence, that we are one with God and not separate from it. So why do we feel separate from God, from the divine?
Well, that's a good question. And I think part of it is that we are never, most of us are never taught as children that we have this connection to that power that is absolutely everything. And so on our journey, on our human journey, it may take us a while to come back to finding ourselves and finding that teaching that will help us realize how powerful we are, how loved we are, how unified we are with one another, and how unified we are with this power that is within us, that created us. And so I think it's just because we find that in our life at the right time. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And so I think that's why that may be why it takes us maybe sometimes a lifetime to even come to that connection. But eventually we all do at some point, I think.
Yeah, it feels that way too for some reason, right? Without any evidence for it. So what was like this realization for you, Jen? How did you come to this deep understanding of who, what you are?
Well, my husband and I started with New Thought, oh gosh, back in 1995, I believe. And it was quite an awakening to understand who we are, where we come from, and how we are responsible for creating our own life. And we went to New Thought because we were having issues in our life that said, there has to be a better way. There simply has to be a better way. And it's not a change that you make overnight. If you have spent most of your life believing it, maybe in lack or limitation or other ways that do not bless you, you don't change overnight. So it's been a journey, Valeria, since 1995 to really come to where I am in my life right now. And to have this book come out of me, which never in my life did I think I would be writing a book, which I didn't write. Spirit wrote it. But yeah, it's a journey, isn't it? It really is a journey.
Yes, yes. It very much, I resonate with that too. Yeah, for me it has been this gradual deepening of this realization. For me, it started really early. Was not external. So it was. I remember when I was really young, probably around 6, 7, looking at myself in the mirror, and the thought that came was, "Oh, you're back again in a new body."
So
that stayed with me. Never, because I had no reference for that kind of language, which is called spirituality, spiritual understanding. So that really stayed with me my entire life. And it was something that informed a lot of my search, my journey. And most of it came from suffering. That's another interesting idea, concept that it has been said a lot, that it's easier to realize truth, the truth of what we are, who we are, through suffering. Is that something that you agree with, Jen, or we can realize the truth without suffering?
Well, I think that on our journey, on our human journey, or on this spiritual journey that we are on, we all suffer at times from different issues. And in a way, it's necessary to, you don't understand the light until you see the black. And so at times it's necessary, but it isn't necessary to remain in a suffering state. It's meant to push us forward. It's meant to help us to realize that this is not necessary. This is not the way that the divine created us to be, was to suffer at all. But again, going back to when we are children, we don't learn that isn't necessary. So it's part of the journey, but it doesn't have to be.
Yes, and, I love
it. And you know, when I look back on my life, like you were talking about how, what happened to you as a little girl, even though I didn't have a relationship with spirit, I believed in God, but I didn't have a relationship. It wasn't until I was immersed in New Thought that I realized how deeply my life had been affected by the divine. The decisions that I made that were so beneficial to me that when I look back, I realize I wasn't in charge. I thought I was, but it was spirit. It was the divine that was pushing me in one direction or another. So even though we're not aware of that presence, it's still moving our life forward. So I don't know if that answers your question or not.
Yes, beautiful. Yes, a billion times that truth, right? That everything is spiritual, everything is universal. So there's no such a thing as personal, although it feels like. I think it's just a feeling, right? Something that, because of the body, then it gives us this sensation that we are driving our lives, that we are doing something here. But yes, right. Jen, so you just mentioned earlier too, now for the second time, a third time, New Thought. What is it?
Well, it's really the way my book is written, and there, you know, your New Thought teachers would be like Dr. Wayne Dyer, Louise Hay, Neil Donald Walsh, even going back to the Buddha. I mean, New Thought is a different way of looking at our life. It's not religious; it's spiritual. It's spiritual in nature. Realizing our oneness with a power greater than we are, realizing that we are directing our life with our thoughts and our feelings and our actions and our words, and just learning to live, helping us to learn to live a consciously awakened life so that we are aware of how we're directing our life forward. Again, with what we think and say and do and feel, because we're all vibrational beings. So that's in a nutshell sort of what New Thought is.
Right. It's beautiful though. I love the color. Let me start with the cover. So for some reason I love yellow. That color. Yellow and blue. And it's beautiful. And then you have is a silhouette of a woman, and she's freeing some birds, and she's coming out of water, like a ripple of water in a circle. Is there a meaning behind this? I mean, I can see a lot of meaning for myself, but for you, what was the meaning of the cover?
Well, I actually didn't design the cover. It was designed by my publisher, Timber Hawkeye of Hawkeye Publishers, and he created that. And his you know, it was just... Reaching up and letting go, just letting go, coming out of this beautiful, beautiful water and just rising and reaching up and letting go. And you can see the birds as they move away from her. Freedom, love. He did a marvelous job, I think.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. And with that in mind, you just use that word, and then one of the chapters that caught my attention is the one about freedom. It's the name right here, chapter 16, freedom or caution. Mm-hmm. So what is the meaning of freedom to you, Jen, as of now?
Well, freedom where finances are concerned. Freedom is to be able to live your life the way you intend to live it, because you have the consciousness of abundance, and so your prosperity allows you to do that. And freedom is also connecting with that which is in you that keeps you centered. The world can be a very chaotic place, and if you go out there, you're tumbled around. But freedom for me is being able to stay with that connectedness within me that helps me to know that I am not affected by what is going out there. I am free from that, because the power within me directs me. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what freedom means to me. And it's also taking a chance, because you know that you have trust or faith that spirit has your back. And the lady that I described in my book, who took a motorhome and has traveled by motorhome for 30 years, has traveled totally on the belief in spirit to keep her safe and to keep her free.
Wow. Those are powerful tools of the mind. So I wonder if you have the perspective I have about, if we can share that, if we could talk about this for a moment. From my perspective, that's how I started. I think I started with faith and then beliefs, and then I believed, and then I trusted. And now it has evolved into knowing. So something beyond the mind in a way. So it's almost living as so close to that knowledge that I am spirit, that there's no really nothing left. It's that I have closed that gap, I guess, so much that there's no space really for belief systems or to trust or for faith, because knowledge is here. So is that something that you talk about as a spiritual counselor, this movement from trust, faith, belief to knowing, or it's still abstract for some of us, or even for you?
Well, I think as you progress on your spiritual journey, and as you learn to trust the divine, you know, you can begin with parking spots. You know, when you first begin your journey, you say, okay, I'm going to create a parking spot here. And then that works. And you move up from there until the trust and the faith is there automatically, because you've experienced what you intended to do. And so that directs you into a place of knowing. Now, that doesn't mean we don't fall off the horse and fall back into fear. It's always, can always be there, but we know how to come back out of it, and we don't stay there very long.
Right. Yes. Beautifully said. Yes. It's almost like, that actually, this illustration kind of shows the big picture of life in a way, that almost like losing, forgetting what we are in order to remember what we are again. So it feels that way, like just going, you know, leaving home to this beautiful forest and then getting lost. not with intention, but just getting lost because that's the nature of nature. And but knowing how to come back, it's such a gift.
Yes,
you have that as a reference, right?
Yes, you have the tools to come back to that balance that you want within you, that alignment that you want within you. And you know when you're out of alignment. You absolutely know when what is going on inside is not where you intend to be. Mm-hmm. So you have the tools to come back around, reconnect, realign yourself, and start again.
Mm. Yes, yeah. That's a beautiful, illustration for the idea of balance, of harmony. Because mm-hmm. in nature, mm-hmm. we see that it's always looking to return to harmony. The body itself, when it's sick or the immune system is not working, it's weak, it automatically works its way back to healing.
It does.
It's constantly doing
mm-hmm.
the healing work. Yes. Oh, so now that we are talking about, I just mentioned your work as a spiritual counselor, talk to me for a moment about that. How does it work? Do you meet people in person, online? And how are the sessions, if you could describe one session, Jen?
Well, most of my spiritual work right now is doing prayer work for people, even long distance. But yes, as a spiritual counselor, you can sit down with someone And it's different than being a psychologist. You're being a spiritual counselor. So you're letting them explain to you what is the issue, where is the blockage, and you help them to try to understand where did that come from. You know, maybe it's something that happened to them when they were a child, some thoughts that they're bringing forward when they were from a child that they don't even realize they have. And so we talk about that and try to turn them around so that they are realigned. What's happening is that they're just out of alignment a little bit. And so you do that. And we pray together. And right now I do I do prayer work for people. I'm part of a prayer team. And we take prayers from people that can be all over the country, and we work on prayers because there's no distance in mind. There's only the universal mind knows what it knows here. It knows in New York or Los Angeles. So we pray for knowing the truth of people. When you're a spiritual counselor, you don't talk about what the issue is. Mm-hmm. We don't care what the issue is. We're looking for the cause. What is causing that? Because the cause is what creates the experience. So we don't discuss, you know, if it's physical, Valeria, we don't discuss what that physical issue is. We stay with the cause, and that's where we stay, not in the issue.
That sounds wonderful to me. That's really the principle of healing, isn't it? But true healing, it's looking for what's causing the problem.
Exactly.
I love the way you said that. So prayer. I heard something recently about prayer that caught my attention. Somebody was asking a spiritual teacher about, you know, when I pray, I ask for guidance. Mm-hmm. And now I wait, you know, to see the signs. Is that the way to pray? Is that the goal of prayer? And then he said something like, I would ask for truth. So a true prayer is always, it's asking for truth. And he kept saying that. That resonated with me in a sense of that we are looking, as you said, it might be, I don't know if we're talking about the same thing, looking for the cause. Like when I ask for, when I'm looking for guidance, that's exactly what I'm looking for truth. I want to see with clarity what's happening here. It's not even me as the, perhaps, how can I say that? I always refer to the body mind as something that's looking for something, because I feel that what we are, it's complete, it's whole, it's limitless. It's already where it's supposed to be. There's nothing to be added anyway.
Correct. I agree.
Then, right, so the body, mind, always, especially the mind, when they're completely connected. So they're always looking for something. So the conversation in my mind, it's truth. I want to see the truth in the sense of what is spirit, this universal intelligence doing in this moment, and distinguishing to between ignorance, which is the ignoring what is true, which some of us with the mind, most unfortunately, so many of us do. We believe that we're the body and the mind only. So, and then I try to really kind of keep those two, let's say, realities in mind. Or there are two realities here. One that's absolute, one that's the core, the essence, the fundamental reality that holds everything else together. And the other one, which is experience, that is half truth. It's not the whole truth per se. So I keep, that's something that I do all the time. And I guess has something to do with my own practice with Hinduism, which is the philosophy that I study. So is that something that resonates with you too, Jen, this idea of truth, praying in truth? And
well,
the truth.
Yes, absolutely, Valeria. And I pray every day. If I'm looking for guidance, if I'm looking for direction, if I'm looking for the truth, my prayer to the Spirit would be, thank you, Spirit, for giving me this guidance. Thank you for showing me the way. Thank you for directing me, because what I'm doing is acknowledging that that's already happening. You know, I'm not asking him, I'm not asking he or her to give me, I'm thanking Spirit for already having it. Just do you see what I mean?
Yes.
So that's how, you know, if we're praying for someone to be healed, we're praying that thank you for their perfect health. Thank you for their mind that is clear. So you know, we have maybe different ways of praying, but it all goes to the same source, doesn't it?
Right.
There are many paths to the same source. Yes.
So true. So in a way, truth is it's always here. It's never really was never hidden. It's always here. So we are not looking for it. It's to be realized, right, Jen?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, then, and it never change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and then within the realm of body-mind, which to me of experience, it's to be reflected. So perhaps we are looking for the reflection of that pure spirit state. You know, how can we reflect that here, which looks so limited and temporary, the body mind. So I guess that's my exercise too. I keep looking for another reflection of truth, in which it's clear a lot of times, because it has to do with whatever I do is, it's not just to help or benefit this body mind, but everything else that comes in touch with it in a positive way, in an expanded way, in a loving way. So that to me is my reference. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but that's how I operate when it comes to the reflection of truth.
Yes, yes. And the reflection of truth, I think, is in our life experience. If we're experiencing that truth of who we are and who we know we always have been and always will be, then that's reflected out into our life. And we take that with us wherever we go, and whoever we touch, that is projected from us.
Yes. And as you mentioned before, sometimes we can get a little bit distracted.
Absolutely.
Right. Yes. And lost from that reflected truth. Yeah. And then we, right. Is that something that is, from your experience, it's something that is part of that dance of life, or are we looking to be in a way perfect, in perfect alignment with that truth all the time?
Well, if we could be, we would. Yes, if we were all the time, we would truly be enlightened. But we are still having human experiences. So we do have the situations that come and go, and we go, what the heck happened? Wait a minute. How did this come into my life?
yes, right. Yes, it made me kind of pause now. So true. I guess I try to, because there's so much, you know, that truth is so established that Spirit is doing the work, that I guess the question that comes to mind is, now what am I to see here? Or what am I pushing away? Because I do see what we call Spirit, God, life itself, universal intelligence, as something that it's free. It's not really, it's all inclusive. So it's not pushing away anything.
No.
So I think when we do that, that's the first step backwards in a way, pushing away something that we feel is unacceptable. It shouldn't be here, something that shouldn't be present or should not happen. So I guess that's another practice of mine, always to be accepting and I would not say loving in a human way, because I don't think I could, with the body mind, I couldn't ever love hatred and violence and all that. So that wouldn't work. But there's something about love and freedom and the spirit that's really, they seem to be very much connected, in the sense of holding, embracing everything without any discrimination, without any, it's like the sun just shines upon everything. And it's not choosing where it will shine upon. And it's always shining, always, always on everything and everyone. I don't know if that makes sense to you somehow.
Well, it does. And I'm thinking that if you have that type of thinking and belief, and you're acting in that way, that when you walk into a room, people have to feel that love coming from you. They have to feel that openness and that non-judgment. And because you know, when you walk into a room and someone does not have that, you feel their energy. You absolutely feel their energy. But if we're going out with love and non-judgment and feeling that we are all one, my goodness, wouldn't the world be such a better place, huh? If we all did that. Yeah.
Yes. And it feels like an evolution of body, mind, again, reflecting that truth. So we have so much trauma that it's, trapped emotions, trapped energies. So people have been through trauma, it's my case. So I feel them. They come out, you know, from time to time. But instead of trying to judge them, like I start with myself, with my own body, mind, reality. So whatever's happening here, something in me opens up to them and just let them be instead of pushing away. So, and I think that's the first step, isn't it, Jen? It's that practice within our own body, mind, realities.
Absolutely.
Into that love, right? The beautiful expanded love.
Yes, yes. Love is the answer to everything, really.
Yes, right. It absolutely is. So let's talk about chapter 4 in your book, Gratitude. Speaking of love, I'm sure that's a byproduct of love too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which one comes first? So gratitude. You say, in the book, you say, when you have an attitude of gratitude, all things are possible because your mind is focused on how amazing your life is at that moment. So that's I had to have this here because it's so, I mean, it's to the point, so true to me, resonated deeply true. So talk to me about your own perception, ideas of gratitude in your own personal life too, if you could give me an example.
Well, I think it's one of the most important aspects of your life is for you to have to really realize how blessed you are. And even if things aren't going exactly the way that you want them to go or you intend them to go, the gratitude will help you to move forward. There is so much in our life to be grateful for and to know how blessed we are. And gratitude reminds us, you know, thank you for my health. Thank you for my loving family. Thank you for my creative ideas. Thank you for the fact I can get up in the morning and walk and see and hear and feel. Mm-hmm. There's so much to be grateful for. And the more grateful we are, the more good we will receive, because it's that vibration, that energy that we are putting out, and then we attract back to us even more good. I also have a quote from William Ward that says, God gave you a gift of 86,400 seconds today. Have you used one of them to say thank you?
Beautiful. Yes.
So gratitude is extremely, extremely important. Yes.
Yes.
Putting out that vibration, yes.
Yeah, it's a beautiful practice. It really is. And I do feel that, again, because it is something that, as a concept, it feels that is connected to that essence, essential energy, which we call God, that we've been talking about, spirit. So it really, when it reflects in the mind, I can tell right away. Like, for example, yesterday they started, I live in a development here, and then they do roof work, like they go one by one. And we didn't know that we were starting the new one, doing remodeling the roof on the next door, the house next to ours. And that's a lot of noise. So, and then we've been, the noise wakes us up in the morning, like 7:30. And I'm not a morning person, so I go to sleep really late. And then I had to kind of, in a way, it seemed like the mind was trying to find a way to reinterpret reality in through the lens of gratitude. So first was, I'm grateful to have ears to be able to hear the sound. Right. That's the first thing.
Yes, right? Yes.
It's a loud sound, a noise sound, but, you know, I'm grateful that I can hear it. And then something else came to me. And then the mind said, think of the noise as if it is nature, like thunder. Now, don't you like thunder and lightning and the rain? So, yeah, then I started doing that, like, oh, yeah. You know, because they hammer all the time, so it's really like almost like ongoing things, like rain, thunder, lightning all together. And, it worked. And then I fell asleep, and I'm like, God, I cannot believe this. So that feels like, where did that come from? Because I know there's, so I'm always asking for this type of thing. Sounds like a silly, doesn't it? But it's not. It's really, it's profound. When you have a mind that is like, thoughts that they, it feels like music, like poetry. They're coming to you like music. Like your book, when you said it was a download, that I didn't write the book. Sure. So that feels like, you know, it's beautiful when you have thoughts like that. And to me, that's a reflection of the spirit. It really is.
Well, I think the experience that you just shared is really profound, because you could have sat up and been very angry about that noise and gotten up and tried to have a cup of coffee, but there was the noise and it was so annoying. And there you have set in motion the rest of your day.
Yes, right.
Instead, you went to a very positive place. And I think therein is the power of our thoughts, that you took that situation. You know, 20 minutes before you came on and joined me, the gardeners came right outside my window. And I thought, oh, no. And then I realized, well, wait a minute. You won't be able to hear the gardeners because you can't hear them. So, you know, they have to do their thing. But I think you chose a beautiful way to express how thoughts create our day.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, some people even say that some of the philosophy that I follow, it's very much based on, we don't choose our thoughts. It's not really, if we were in charge of thoughts, then we only would have positive ones, happy ones, peaceful ones, loving ones, if we were able to choose them, but we are not. So they just come, and that's the thing. I'm starting to think now that, or believe, I don't know what that is. I try not to believe in anything but experience. that when we realize our true nature, that we are, as you keep saying beautifully, the spirit. That's what we are, not even who we are in a way. Then those thoughts, they come more often. And maybe, who knows, Jen, maybe at some point that's all we'll have. These reflected, you know, spirit reflected thoughts. You know, it's like the sun reflected in water. We just see that image, perfect image of the sun. But we know it's not the sun. The sun's elsewhere. But there's, it feels so true, so real, that reflection. So I guess that's, I love your work, because, and I love the way you the title, your label, spiritual counselor. I think that's what we need more than anything else in this reality, in this shared reality. I know you mentioned therapists too, and I do talk to a lot of therapists here, and I love some of them, their work and what they do. But the ones that really kind of align, you know, are in alignment with truth, are the ones that are bringing spirituality into psychological work. I think it's crucial. To me, it's really what we really need. So thank you again for what you do.
Oh, thank you.
I know you're probably not doing that yourself, obviously. You're just open to to that energy, to the to spirit. So that's truly beautiful. Thank you again. Mm-hmm. So continue. We talked about gratitude. Okay, gratitude, and then thought. That was the other chapter that we planned to talk about. And I want to mention the book, the way you have, the way it's formatted. You have all of them, for all of them, you have the affirmation and then statement of spiritual truth and then affirmative prayer. So there are three sections. But you do have, in the very beginning, you do talk the introduction, I think. Let me see you just say have the title, so the chapter and then the title of the chapter, and then you have a brief introduction, and then you have the affirmation, statement of spiritual truth, and really beautifully done, because that makes it very simple. And I talked to you off record too. This is very important for most people these days, because time, it seems like nobody has time anymore. It's kind of interesting to see, right? Everybody's looking for extra time.
Exactly. Well, and that's one of the things that I've heard over and over about this book, is that it's easy to read. It takes you maybe 10 minutes, not even 10 minutes, to read a chapter. It's very simple to understand. And it's something that you can go back to over and over and over again. And maybe learn something new each time. So I appreciate your words about it, because I agree with you that it's not difficult to sit up to read a chapter and understand. I think it's it comes through very clearly.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, it's very, very easy to read, and it's enjoyable. It's fun too. In this way, it becomes so much more fun, because long books sometimes you have to be very interested in order to read 300-page book, 400-page
right,
page
book. Right.
Yeah, you have to be really interested in. Even the books that I read that I'm very interested in, the Vedanta books, Advaita Vedantas, they're short too. They're very short books, although they are the Bhagavad Gita. That's a longer book, the Upanishads, which I have written, and I read them all the time. But then there's something about when you open in a book that you can open at any page, and then there's something for you, like almost like a message, a gift for that moment.
yes,
right, a piece
that's
of
true.
Wisdom. Yeah, I love that. So that's your book. Anywhere you open, there's something that the mind could benefit from.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
any page is beautiful. And I love the cover. It's almost, I'm putting that on my, because I have a display here in my back, my bookshelf. I just put the covers that I like the most, that resonate with me. I just put them, I expose them so I can look at them when I walk in the room. Yours is one of them.
Oh, thank you.
It's beautiful. So we talked about, thoughts. So that idea, going back to that, Jen, for a moment. So this idea that we don't create our thoughts, it sounds like a paradox, doesn't it? Because most of us are working, actually, making an effort to change our thoughts, to attract different thoughts, to be aware of thoughts. But what about if that's true, that we do not create our thoughts?
Well, I'm not sure about that. If you think about it, you're sitting somewhere or you're walking somewhere and all these thoughts are coming through into your mind and you have no idea where they're even, well, again, you don't even know where they came from, do you? Who's putting these thoughts in your mind? I feel that I'm responsible for those thoughts that are coming up, especially if they are thoughts that are not blessing my life, then I know right away that thought doesn't belong to me. That thought belongs out in the universe somewhere. So I can move away from that thought. I don't claim that thought and turn it around to where I am thinking something that blesses my life. So I'm not sure where they come from.
right. That's something, right? Yeah.
But we have them, and when they are when they are not blessing our life, then you let them go and think about something else. Go into gratitude. go into thank you.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. It might be the when we think about life again, life itself, we don't have control over the people that come our way. Let's say when we're walking on the street, you know, lots of people will come and go. We are in a store. So we cannot really, we're not choosing who is walking near us, around yeah. us. Cool. But there's something about the, go back to the interconnectedness of life, that is just so hard to ignore, though, as an evidence. What happens is we start feeling the energies of us. And some people do claim to have those abilities, as you know, mediums and psychics, highly sensitive people, that they kind of start to even hear thoughts from other people who walk by, or people who choose to give them that permission. So that really clearly shows that everything is from one essence. Everything is connected. There's no yeah. really separation, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Between one thing and the other. So do you want to add? Yeah, do you want to ask?
Well, I was just thinking of a comment that I read in a book not too long ago, that when something happens in your life, like someone comes into your awareness or around you, or something happens that you think, why did that happen? Her way of dealing with it, instead of asking why, she looks at the situation and says, oh, okay, that was supposed to happen right now. I just have to accept it as it is and let it go. And I thought that was a beautiful way to look at things, instead of trying to figure out, why was that clerk so mean to me, or why was she frowning at me, or what did I do to upset someone? It was meant to happen. Just let it go. I liked her way of looking at it.
Mm, yes, that's beautiful. That really sounds like somebody who is coming from freedom.
Yes.
That idea of freedom, yes. right? Just yes. letting Not, everything be.
Right, yes. right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a beautiful practice, though. It's a wonderful practice. And speaking of that, that was one of the chapters that, as I mentioned, that caught my attention in your book. It's chapter 16, Freedom or Caution. So there you say, there's a beautiful question you raise. You say, what would you be doing right now if you felt totally free to live the life of your dreams?
Right.
Yeah, that stopped me for a while. What a wonderful question. Mm. That's a beautiful, tasty question. Right? Like, gosh, am I free? Because the mind and the body, they have a hard time understanding this truth that they are free. It's so not, let's say, it's a challenge for the mind, especially.
Well, and what causes us to not live in that freedom, whatever it is that we choose? Fear of the unknown, not knowing if you're going to be successful, not knowing if you're going to lose all of your money. It's fear that really keeps us from moving into that place of freedom. And sometimes we just have to step out and take the first step and trust that we're okay. We will be fine. Even if something that we try doesn't work out, it's not a failure. It's just a result. And so we move forward, hoping that freedom will take us forward rather than fear holding us back.
Right, right. That's a beautiful perspective. Yeah, that's the perception that we ought to experience here. I really love the idea that we can all experience that one day, be able to live this way.
Right, and freedom else, is... Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No, yes.
Freedom is also, excuse me, freedom is also letting go of those old beliefs, those old thoughts, those limiting actions. So that's freedom also. Excuse me.
Yes, a billion times to let go, yeah. I love the idea of letting go gracefully, right? Of the things that are meant for us.
Yes.
Just in a graceful way. So chapter 16, you also say other things that caught my attention. You said, life's for us to enjoy, period. Love the period there. Life is for us to enjoy. It really is, you say.
It is.
Yeah. Beautiful. And then you also say, spirit is not content with just enough. That, I love that too. That's a powerful message. Well, because the spirit is unlimited. It's infinite.
It is. It is. And my husband and I found that when we were, before we became in this teaching, is that we would pay our bills and we would say, oh, look at that. We had just enough. Well, that isn't the way anyone wants to live. It's just, spirit wants us to thrive and expects us to thrive. So with that belief, we were holding ourselves back without even realizing we were doing that.
Right.
Without even realizing that. So. Yeah.
You see, belief systems, yeah, they are so powerful too, especially when we are not aware of them.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You did tell a story about a friend of yours, and I forgot what the story was. I apologize. I made a note here. The story you tell about your friend, S-H-A-R.
Oh, Char. Yes.
Char.
Yes. Yeah. In the Freedom chapter, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Talk to me about that story for a moment, Jen.
Well, it is a true story, and she was a very successful mortgage broker, and as I said in the book, one day she just felt like she was a caged animal, and so she went out to the desert, and she tried to get in touch with that inner presence, and it said to her, go, go. Mm-hmm. So she came back, she quit her job, she put her house on the market, it sold almost immediately, she bought a motor home and put a little car behind it. And I just talked to her 2 days ago. She is still traveling in that motorhome. It's 31 years later, and she is still doing that. And she truly is a person that travels in total trust of the universe, total trust. And she is such a hero to me because her choice of freedom was to let her material possessions go and travel as a minimalist, I guess you would say, totally trusting in spirit. And it's just a beautiful life. It's a beautiful story, I think, of a woman who just set out on her own and said, okay, God, here we go.
Yes. Let's have fun.
Let's have some fun. Yes.
That's beautiful. Yeah, that stayed with me. And that's, you did mention that in the beginning of our conversation today, and I didn't connect those, but I read the story and I made a note here. Yes. That sounds to me like a reflected truth. That's what I call it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're almost at the end. I know I'd love for you to read a book passage. I also mentioned that I loved the, I think it's the last chapter 30, yeah, 30, chapter 30, self-love. And there you say, I would like to close our 30-day spiritual journey together with a personal and important subject to consider, loving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the ending message. Loving yourself. Gosh, and I just wonder why for some of us it's just not something natural. Why does it take us so much effort to love ourselves? It should be the easiest thing ever.
It really should. But again, we're taught things that are not, we're taught untruths about ourselves, maybe as children, and we take them with us into our adult life. And that's one of the things that I really loved about Louise Hay and her teaching was self-love. I mean, she really, really helped people to even heal by looking in the mirror and say, I love you. I love you. And that's difficult for us to do, isn't it? To really stand there and do that. But she was a wonderful, wonderful teacher of how important it is to love yourself above all. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a really, really powerful message. A beautiful one. Beautiful in a sense of the deepest sense of beauty. Mm-hmm. To end the book, that was just it's just not no words from me here, because I think that's where everything starts and ends in a way, if there's an ending to this.
So
we almost at the end of our conversation today, Jan. I want to thank you again for your beautiful presence, not reality, for being open to life as much as you are. I know we had some technical issues here before and the back and forth. So thank you for being open to all of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And I would love for you to read the passage. And we have a passage ready to share with us.
All right. Well, it is from chapter 4, from gratitude, of course. When you are grateful, you have positive energy that emanates outward from your being. You become a magnet of sorts, attracting more experiences and opportunities that enrich your life, giving you even more reasons to be grateful. Mm-hmm. Challenges or problems are reduced or eliminated because, aside from applying practical solutions, you do not give them any power or energy. So life begins to reflect your good back to you in amazing ways. There is always something to be grateful for.
So true. Now, I love the word reflect there. This word's kind of, it's calling my attention. I don't know, it's a call almost. Reflection. Yes, yeah, everything you say, it's so, so true. It could change everything. For so many people, I see that. The practice of gratitude, it's the first step. Even psychologists use that. So many professionals use that in order to change the way we see reality. So thank you so much again. And before we say goodbye for today, I would like to mention your website too, where to find you. It's jenlynch.com. So I'll have that clickable on the podcast notes.
Okay.
And the last question I would love to ask you is the one that I usually ask everyone. I usually keep that for the, but I might change it today. Jen, yes, I'll change it. So I'll ask you this one. How do you define success these days? What is to be successful to you?
Oh, success to me right now, because I am retired, and I had worked from the time I was 18 years old until just 2 years ago. Success to me is getting up each day, appreciating my home, my husband, my little kitty cat, appreciating the new friends that we've made here in Texas. That to me is if I can go through the day feeling that I have received love and I have given love, that is a successful day.
Wow, how beautiful. Yes. Thank you so much for being the message, not just delivering a message, but you come across as somebody who has embodied what you speak of. Thank you so much for that too.
All right.
It's truly beautiful. Take good care of yourself, Jen, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you, Valeria, very much. Wonderful to meet with you.
Thank you. Bye for now, Jen.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Jan Lynch and her work, please visit janlynch.com.
To learn more about this podcast, please visit fitforjoy.org/podcast. Thank you again for listening, and bye for now.